Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep here with local and statewide news. Registration for after-school childcare in the Juneau School District opened last Friday, but the information the district provided to families did not line up with the actual application process. The district will cease to operate the Relationships and Leadership Learning for Youth program known as Rally. It will be operated by Auk Lake Preschool beginning in September. The district announced that registration for Rally would begin August 1st on Auk Lake Preschool's website. But enrollment information and registration links for Rally weren't available then and are still not active as of Monday afternoon. Auk Lake Preschool's co-owner said in an email to KTOO that families should instead submit a preschool application that is available on its website and note that it is for Rally. Lauren Sanzone has been sending her children to Rally since 2022 and tried to register this week. She says it's stressful, but they want to continue using Rally for after-school care. She's also working on a backup plan for childcare.
I'm fortunate that I have a good-paying job and I have the privilege of being able to pay for childcare. But I also don't have confidence that I could even find an alternative at any price that would provide consistent after-school care for my kids.
The district says Rally will run at Auk Bay Elementary School, Harborview Elementary School, and Sit Itish Anach Glacier Valley Elementary School. The district said in a frequently asked questions page that Auk Lake Preschool will maintain the same monthly cost as the district. The district-run summer child care program is scheduled to end this Friday, but the district will continue to provide transitional care for children enrolled in Auk Lake's program until the end of the month. The district has not provided details on the transitional care. The new Rally program is expected to officially open September 1st. Dozens of Juneau residents gathered at the police station on Saturday to protest a violent arrest last week. A video of the arrest generated public concern on social media. It showed a Juneau police officer handcuffing an Alaska Native man, then throwing him to the ground where he appears to lie unconscious for the remainder of the video. Since the man's family has identified him publicly as Christopher Williams Jr., the police department has not released the name of the officer. Protesters offered condolences to the man's family and expressed their outrage, including Haish Kike Kayana Sa'ak, Barbara Kadiente Nelson.
We're here to hold this system accountable to the words they took an oath to protect, to serve.
Yeah, well.
Williams' cousin Pamela James said his family didn't know where Williams was for a full day. She confirmed that Williams was in Anchorage Thursday evening after calling multiple Seattle and Anchorage hospitals. She said he is conscious and speaking. James said Williams plans to sue JPD. She said her family will continue to speak up.
We're not doing it just for Chris, but we're doing it for everybody that's been hurt by our cops here in town.
Assemblymember Paul Kelly was at the protest and said it's important that the city and borough of Juneau work to restore trust in the community after a violent arrest.
Whenever we have an emergency, whenever we need somebody to intervene, we need it to be somebody that we can trust. We need to be able to trust our police force. And so
protester Kakuhage Kai Montour said that Tlingit people have to support and protect each other and abide by traditional values of perseverance and community support.
Even though asking for police reform is important and something we need to fight for every day, it's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed that it'll happen. But what is guaranteed is that we can protect each other.
JPD says the officer has since been placed on administrative leave. Officials from the city and borough of Juneau and JPD say there will be an external investigation of the violent arrest. And state prosecutors charged the Selawik man on Friday with murder and assault in connection with the death of Nettie Ballett in February. Alaska State Troopers say 37-year-old Adrian Tickett had admitted to beating her the night before at his home and discovered her dead in the morning. The 38-year-old Selawik woman was the mother of his three children. In a written statement to the court, the investigating trooper said Tickett reported her death and the events leading up to it directly with troopers. He told them that Ballett was alive when he fell asleep. Tickett was arrested at the time for two outstanding warrants, one for the assault of a former girlfriend, which he later pleaded guilty to, and another for allegedly breaking Ballett's window while drunk. Troopers searched Tickett's home and found bruises on Ballett's face, arms, and body. 3 days later, the state medical examiner determined Ballett died from blunt impacts to head, body, and limbs. Over a dozen of Ballett's ribs were fractured. Tickett is in custody at Anvil Mountain Correctional Center. He is charged with second-degree murder and first- and second-degree assault. He has not yet entered a plea. A public defender is representing him. His attorney could not be reached for comment. His next court date is scheduled for August 11th at the Kotzebue Courthouse. And Alaska lawmakers on Saturday voted to override Governor Mike Dunleavy's veto of state funding for public schools. The 45-14 vote means lawmakers successfully reversed Dunleavy's decision to cut some $51 million of per-student funding increased, approved by lawmakers during the last legislative session. House Speaker Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham independent, says he's glad lawmakers were able to restore the funding.
I'm really excited in terms of the steps we took today on behalf of our schools. It's one step in a journey of 1,000 miles, as they say. Got much more work ahead of us, but I think we set the stage for us to come back and be successful.
The education veto override vote came after years of advocacy from teachers, students, administrators, and community leaders who said the state's education system was in crisis after nearly a decade of essentially flat long-term funding. When he issued the call for special session in early July, Dunleavy said he wanted lawmakers to consider education reforms to boost the state's bottom of the nation test scores. In his own news conference after the vote, Dunleavy called on lawmakers to seriously consider his proposals for reform.
You got the money? Now what about the policy? What about tribal compacting? What are your ideas to decrease teacher turnover and recruitment? What about those families that are on wait lists for charter schools? What do we do with them?
But legislative leaders said they already debated and voted on many of the proposals Dunleavy included in the agenda he set for the special session. Lawmakers plan to evaluate some other elements of what Dunleavy proposed, including a system that would allow students to enroll in out-of-district schools, with a task force that will begin meeting later this month. And Alaska lawmakers overrode Governor Mike Dunleavy's veto of a bill intended to bolster the authority of the legislative auditor on Saturday, handing the governor a defeat with the first vote of a special session. House and Senate leaders said the vote, which was 43-16, was a top priority for the session. Legislative leaders said the bill was necessary to address what they described as a, quote, persistent pattern of obstruction within the senior ranks of Alaska's Department of Revenue. It came after a steep drop-off in revenue from so-called oil tax and royalty settlements, which the state negotiates with oil companies. The bill would have required the administration to turn over information on those settlements to the auditor, quote, in the form or format requested. Dunleavy vetoed the bill, saying it raised constitutional issues. He said any allegations that the administration had acted unethically or illegally were baseless. The Legislative Budget and Audit Committee earlier this summer authorized a rare use of its subpoena power to compel the administration to turn over the data lawmakers are looking for. The head of the committee said Saturday she had recently signed a contract with a law firm to start drafting them. And in an isolated town like Juneau, access to tattoo artists can be limited. But this weekend, dozens of artists lined Elizabeth Hratchevich Hall for the third annual Ink Masters Tattoo Show downtown. KTOO's Clarice Larson was there and has this story.
Demetrius Bowen uses a tattoo gun to draw a cartoon character on the leg of his client, Connor Woodhouse.
Oh, I was so surprised to hear about something like this at Juneau. And speaking to a few of the artists as well, they've come from all over.
Woodhouse works for a cruise line that had stopped in Juneau for the day. His new ink is a Mario character called Shy Guy. He heard about the show through word of mouth and decided to check it out. He says he's glad he did.
So many different styles, so many different artists, so you could really walk around and pick and choose who you resonate with and who you want to get tattooed by, which is so cool.
It was the third annual Ink Masters Tattoo Show hosted in Juneau. This year's expo featured nearly 50 artists who traveled from all over the country and some out of the country to come to Alaska's capital city. Each day, Elizabeth Hratchevich Hall was filled to the brim with booth after booth of artists, each one with their own chairs, needles, and art on display. Bowen was stationed in the center row. He's based in New Mexico, but has been traveling with the show for about 4 years. He says he feels a special connection to Juneau and the people he tattoos here.
The fact that there's all of these people come to this one spot waiting for this one like event for the year, and so it means more than the world to me. For them to trust me for like whatever we're gonna do for them.
Teresa Bay is the host and manager of the show. She and her husband started the traveling expo nearly 2 decades ago in the Lower 48. They held shows in Anchorage and Fairbanks before adding Juneau to the list 3 years ago.
Each artist, even if they're like doing the same type of medium, they their styles are just so different, you know, and it gives everybody a huge variety of artists that they have access to in one location.
She says after that first visit, she realized two things. There was a huge demand for more artists and variety in town, and that she loved Juneau.
I'm telling you, Juneau is special. Juneau is a special place.
So last year, she opened up a local tattoo shop downtown and is in the process of making Juneau her new home.
We have four resident tattoo artists and then a piercer that comes every 2 weeks at the shop. And even during off season, like we stay pretty consistently busy with our local clients.
But even still, she says there's always demand for more artists. And that's why she plans to continue bringing the show each year. Autumn Dolison, who works in healthcare, says she waited all year for the expo to come back around.
I think it means everything.
On Friday, she was getting an arrow tattooed on her arm to honor her indigenous heritage.
I was just sitting here thinking and looking around while he's doing mine, how glad I am that Junonites can come here and get beautiful artwork on their bodies.
In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And right now in Juneau, it is 58 degrees and raining, and there's going to be a chance of showers tonight as well as tomorrow. And for the rest of this week, we've got highs in the mid to upper 60s and lows in the lower 50s. This is KTOO. Thanks for tuning in.